Lord's Day 34 of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 34. And we're continuing our study on the Ten Commandments. And we're starting at the first commandment. It's found on page 25 in your red booklets, Lord's Day 34. Please respond to the questions. How are these commandments divided into two tables, the first of which teaches in four commandments what duties we owe to God, the second in six what duties we owe to our neighbor? What does God require in the first commandment? Harold, my soul's salvation. I avoid and flee all idolatry, sorcery, enchantments, invocations of saints or other creatures, that I rightly acknowledge the only true God, trust in Him alone, with all humility and patience expect, all good from Him only, and love, fear, and honor Him with my whole heart, so as to rather to all creatures than to do the least thing against His will. What is idolatry? Idolatry is to conceive or have something else in which to place our trust instead of or besides the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word. Amen. Congregation, what the Bible proclaims loud and clear is that there is no one like the Lord. There's no one like the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. There's no one like the Lord who can match God in His sovereign control over all things. When He opens His hands, the psalmist says, He gives life to all things. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. There is no one righteous like He is righteous. He determines what is good and what is evil. He does all that He pleases. He determines what is good. He determines what is evil that is worthy to be destroyed. There is no one who can match His might. Like sandcastles on the beach, He raises up nations, and with the waves of His judgment, He brings them down to nothing. There is no one wiser than God. Who was there to counsel Him when He spoke the universe into being with the power of His word? There is no one else who deserves to be worshipped and loved with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, the psalmist says. There is no one who loves like He loves. Great is His faithfulness. His mercy endures forever. There is no one like the Lord, the Bible says. Worship Him alone. And you know what idolatry says to that? Idolatry says, nah, there are plenty of things just like God. Things like money, sex, self-esteem, power, autonomy, fame, all good things that are just as good as God because it gives us what we want. Saints, if you love God, if you want to grow in your love for God, you must be jealous for His glory. Think about the time in Exodus 32 when the Israelites, out of their idolatry, made this golden calf to worship God through the golden calf, and how God was burned with anger. And it was jealousy for God that caused Moses to grind that abomination to powder and burn it in the fire. Guys, we've become so weak today to fight against idolatry because we're so surrounded by it, and even more than that, we've accepted it in part. It's become normalized for us in our life and what we watch and what we see. You know how I know we're weak? Because if we saw Moses do something like this today, we would immediately judge him. Would the Christian community in America not judge him for being so pompous, so arrogant? Would they not judge him to be some fundamentalist bigot who needs to take it down a notch? You know how I know we're weak in this as a church in America in general? Because what used to be considered pornography, vulgar language, crude, blasphemous humor a few years ago is now considered PG-13 in our movies and TV shows. Prove me wrong. Our culture is shouting it's idolatry in your face, louder and louder. And no, I'm not saying we're to become Amish and to run away from everything. But what I am saying is, where is your jealousy for God's glory? Are you allowing the world to shape your mind? Are you able to pinpoint the idolatry when you see it? And are you able to recognize it in yourself when you fall into idolatry? One scholar defines idolatry as whatever the heart clings to for ultimate security. Anything and everything in this creation can become an idol when we look to anything else other than God for security, for safety, for comfort, for peace. We can look to anything from a political identity to our possessions to whatever gives us glory or self-esteem for ultimate security. But saints of God, we're not our own. We belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who purchased us with his blood. And because we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ, we will not place our hope in politicians or political platforms, because we serve the King of all kings, Jesus Christ, who reigns over his church and his enemies, is still on the throne. His priorities are ours. We will not place our security in our wealth, our status in society, our self-esteem, or whatever physical possession or even relationships that can give us peace or anything like that. We will not put our hope or security in those things, because we store up our treasures in heaven. There's nothing on this earth that we will prize or boast about higher than knowing Christ. We count all things rubbish, as Paul says, in comparison to knowing Christ and his love for his people. Fighting idolatry, or going against or recognizing and rooting out idolatry, means aiming to confess what the psalmist says, that whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Fighting against idolatry means putting God first among everything else. We need to aim to do that more, because he's worthy of it. Amen. We'll stop our summary of Lord's Day 34 with that.